The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good afternoon. This is Shelly Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Bill and his bride are still in the Bahamas, enjoying life on a beach, and I think it's time for them to come home. What do you say, Ray? Is it time for them to come home? Ray's giving me the thumbs up. We think that Bill is enjoying way too much vacation. But in his absence, I'm here filling in for him. Today will not be a musical show like last Tuesday's was. Today is going to be a show about finance and financial institutions. And I am honored and thrilled to have in the studio with me for the entire hour two executives who are the chief executives in their businesses. One is Vern Babylon, who is the chief executive at Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union. Good afternoon, Vern, and welcome.
Thank you, Shelley. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And Mike Pryor. Mike Pryor is the chief executive of CUFN and PFG. And full disclosure, Mike's my boss. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Shelley.
What we're going to do today is we're going to get down and peel the onion back a little bit on what is a credit union, what is a financial advisor, what is a broker-dealer, what are all these terms that we use every Tuesday, and then anytime you kind of take a look at CNBC or whatever financial station you might look at, what do these terms mean? What does it take to get some of these titles? One of the things you always see when you look at business cards of financial people is all these letters after their names, and some of them you recognize, like MBA or CPA or something like that, but some of them you don't, and why are they important? And so I also invite, this is, after all, talk radio, so I invite listeners to give us a call, the Buckmaster Hotline, 520-790-2040. If you have a question or a comment about anything that we say on the show today, please feel free to join the discussion. So, first of all, what I'd like to do is start with Mike Pryor, because he's my boss, and if I don't, he'll probably get mad. Mike, what's a broker-dealer? Why do we need him?
Sure. Broker-dealers are established to help investors get information, buy stocks and companies. And so broker-dealers basically support financial advisors who have the securities licenses needed to buy stocks, buy bonds, and get access to investors to those investments.
So you can't do that directly with the companies you want to invest in. You need this middleman?
You know, back in the day when broker-dealers were set up, you did. Now, today, there are certain, companies that let you buy their stock direct. They have direct purchase programs and things like that. Today, the stock brokers are kind of not as necessary, I guess, as they used to be from a broker standpoint. Now they're more necessary from an advice standpoint. And so you see brokers shifting to being more advisors and helping clients with their investments more so than just, finding out information about a particular publicly traded company, because that information is all available now today on the internet more than it was in the past. So it's not so much a broker environment anymore as it is an advisor environment.
Okay. Sometimes I hear the word wirehouse. Mm. What's a wirehouse, and how is that a special kind of broker-dealer, or is it different from others?
Wirehouses, when you think about some names out there, is it okay to share the names?
Sure.
Of the different wirehouses out there? So you think about things like UBS, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley. Uh-huh. Those were all set up as wirehouses, if you will, and more traditional brokerage businesses where they do some investment banking as well. And so they would actually make a market in a stock and then sell that to their customers.
And when you say make a market in a stock, what does that mean?
They would help underwrite it. So they would help participate in the initial public offering. And so that when the stock became first available to customers to buy, those wirehouses would help get it out there
Okay. And sometimes they actually would inventory some of those shares. And so if I'm an investor and I call a large broker dealer and I want to buy some shares of, you know, American Tinker Toy, they might take those shares out of their inventory and put them in my account.
Correct.
Now, these days, do I actually get hard copy shares? I mean, do I get certificates that I keep in my safe?
Not so much anymore. some folks do. It's possible, but just not as easy or convenient. Typically more expensive to try to actually hold the actual shares yourself. With the technology today, it's not deemed necessary for sure. It's a lot more efficient to buy and sell if you don't hold them and you keep them in the account.
And we can trust those guys.
Yes, you can.
Yes,
well,
we can.
I say always trust but verify, right?
right. Okay, so that's the basic structure today for most people in the public domain of how they invest. Mm-hmm. They work with a financial advisor who may or may not be employed by that broker-dealer. Mm-hmm. He may be an independent, but work through a broker-dealer.
Right.
And then that broker-dealer will inventory that investor's portfolio, keep it on tap for that investor, and collect the dividends and react to that investor's demands or commands, as the case may be, in terms of dispersing funds, etc.
So there's a difference between a broker-dealer and custodian. So some broker-dealers are both, right? So if you think, you know, there's just some that are what they call self-clearing. And so they are the broker-dealer and they hold the money. But if you think about like Schwab or TD Ameritrade, they're custodians, right? And a lot of consumers have accounts directly with them. They hold the money. They help with the transactions. And with those firms, you have the choice of either using a financial advisor to help you or do it yourself.
Got it. Vern, what is a credit union and why is it different from a bank?
Very good question. I get asked that a lot, actually, over the years. Credit unions are, by definition, financial cooperatives. In plainer terms to the what we refer to as members, which are the customers, it is very much like a community bank. There are savings, loans, credit cards, mortgages, and even small business accounts and small business loans that can happen at a credit union. Credit unions are federally insured and federally regulated, very much like the bank, the $250,000 of insurance on the savings that you have in your account. And nowadays, credit unions are generally open to the public in the community that they serve. Everybody in Tucson can be a part of Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union, for example, even though back in 1935, we started out as a couple of firefighters pooled their money together. And I refer to 1935 because this was right after the big economic crash, and there was not a lot of confidence in the banking sector. So credit unions were formed, and credit unions were formed by individuals pooling their funds so that the ones that had some extra money would set it into an account for some return, like a dividend. And then those that needed to borrow some money, their refrigerator broke, they needed a washer, they would actually borrow their coworkers' money. That concept still happens today, although it's on a bigger scale. And we have our membership, which are the depositors, and then we also have our borrowers that we'll borrow, but the management of it is a little bit more complicated than it was back in 1935.
A little bit more complicated and a lot more automated, I'm sure.
Yes.
But just to clarify,
mm-hmm.
So if I am a let's say I am somebody in the construction industry,
mm-hmm.
And I want to join a credit union because they're close by that was originally formed to deal with, say, city employees.
Uh-huh.
Of which I am not,
uh-huh.
Can I do that?
Absolutely you can, and that is the very same scenario of Tucson Old Pueblo. We have firefighters, police, city employees as the original core, but we've changed our charter through the permission of the regulators that anybody that lives, worships, goes to school, lives, breathes, drinks at a bar in Tucson, Arizona, can be a member of Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union.
Okay. And just to make sure we kind of round out this segment,
mm-hmm.
If you had to, in very few words, talk about why today's credit unions are different from today's banks. How would you describe that?
The biggest difference is behind the scenes. Banks are organized and designed to be stock held, so therefore their focus on their business is to maximize stockholders' wealth.
Right.
A credit union doesn't have third-party stockholders. We have our depositors are considered the members, and they're the owners of the credit union. So the return, the money that's left over after the bills are paid, gets put back into the credit union for better services, better rates, better technology, as opposed to paying somebody that lives in another country or another part of the state. And that way it keeps everything local.
So your board of directors is made up of depositors?
It is, and our board of directors, ironically enough, are volunteers as opposed to compensated.
As opposed to compensated. That's a great way to begin to think about taking a break, because we have to pay the bills just as you do and Mike, as you do in your company. And one way we do that is through our sponsors. And so this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with European bread goods, breads, pastries, cakes, and luscious brownies. And I'm not going to say any more about the brownies because they're just too good. And they're open for lunch right now, but you stay right put. Go to lunch there after the show. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be back live after these recorded announcements.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
And we're back live. This is Shelly Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Let me give a shout out to Ray Allen, our producer and engineer on the other side of the glass. There's a little sign here that says do not feed the engineers, but you know, we keep him very, very happy because that's the only way you will hear us the way you should. Don't forget, if you want to contribute to the discussion, 720-2040, 520-790-2040, the Buckmaster Hotline. I am thrilled to have in the studio today with me Mike Pryor, who is my boss at Credit Union Financial Network, and Vern Babylon, who is the chief operating officer and president.
Yes, indeed.
Of Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union. And we're talking about kind of the way these terms work, the way these financial institutions work, things that we take for granted that people really understand and probably don't. And, you know, we kind of left it off with you, Vern. I'm going to pick it up with you as well. Mm-hmm. Why in the world would a credit union want to have a financial advisor on staff?
That it is very valuable to us to have a financial advisor on staff. Oftentimes, we will have members that have money on deposit, and they will have either more than what the insured value is and they want to put it somewhere else, or more than likely they want to have a better return on their money that is in excess of what they need for daily expenditures. So we pay a dividend on our savings accounts, but it's not nearly what the market can provide to some of these individuals. So we can provide a one-stop shop. They can come in, they have the trust of the credit union, and then we'll have an advisor that will be handpicked by us to make sure that they're following through with the philosophy of the credit union, not so much profit-driven, but more member-centric and service-oriented.
So that person will have an office or facilities they can use at each of your branches, and from the perspective of a client or a credit union member, that will resemble, in most cases, what they would experience if they walked into, say, a wirehouse office.
Yes, they will get the very high-level professional advice from this individual that will be licensed and trained to communicate on that level, as opposed to a teller or member service rep that is trained to deal with credit cards and mortgages. Mm-hmm. So it's a very high level of expertise that is provided to these members that are very much interested in maximizing their wealth.
And Mike Pryor, why would an advisor want to live at a credit union?
Great question. So there's a lot of benefits, actually. And to brag a little bit about, you know, what Vern has at Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union, and not all credit unions are built the same. You know, so some credit unions have something that's kind of special, and some don't even offer the services at all. At Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union, they have a certified financial planner. You know, so they have a truly professional financial advisor. And so not all credit unions have that. You know, and so some may offer investments, some might not. Some might actually offer a certified financial planner, right? And so that's the different levels of advice, if you will. But a reason why a good quality financial advisor would like to work with a credit union is very like-minded. Credit union is very member-focused, member-centric, you know, customer-centric. And a good quality financial advisor just wants to take care of people, wants to help people. You know, and so the people helping people kind of mantra works well with financial planners, financial advisors, as it does with credit unions. So it's a good fit. Not all financial advisors would make sense for that model, and some are wired differently, so they like the wirehouse kind of model. But being an independent financial advisor inside of a credit union, you just get to meet good people, you get to help good people, and it's a nice life, it's a nice career.
Vern, when you take a look at the advisor who lives at Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union, mm-hmm. and you think in terms of what makes success or failure in your mind and in your board of directors' mind in terms of the job that he or she is doing. How do you think of those things?
We look for member satisfaction, and we hear the feedback from the members and try to select an advisor that best fits our clientele so that there is a common ground of communication. We will look to see how the assets build that the advisor is managing. And then we also look to see how well that some of the money, though we like to have deposits on hand in the credit union, we also want to see some of that go into the advisor's portfolio so that the members are benefiting from it and the credit union can continue to grow. Because we're very heavily regulated and have to monitor certain ratios. And sometimes having too many deposits can actually be detrimental in the ratio monitoring, and we need to push those off into another sector that they're not technically on our books, but yet they're still a part of our membership and the relationship. Yeah.
So you're balancing the needs of the credit union and the needs of the members and the needs of the financial advisor mm-hmm. and the community the financial advisor works in to get the balance that makes sense for your business and for the members.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Mike, you have a different set of balances and pressures on you, I assume.
Sure, we do. Compliance being one of them, right? That's something that credit unions hire us to do is to help them manage the advisors. So we recruit the advisor, we train them, and then we manage the day-to-day business to make sure that they are, selling products that are appropriate. You know, and we serve as fiduciaries. We act as fiduciaries, always have, and so to making sure that the advisors have the client's best interest first is part of our job and part of the things that we are always balancing to make sure that they're just doing things the right way.
So this concept of fiduciary and fiduciary responsibility that, you know, it's the word that you've used and I've used it on this show several times when we talk about what is a CFP and why is a CFP perhaps different from other advisors. What does fiduciary mean to you, Mike?
Sure.
And fiduciary responsibility.
Right. So legally, like by regulation, there's certain licenses you have, Series 65, Series 66, that makes you an advisor versus a broker. Brokers aren't required to have those licenses. So to be a fiduciary, in our mind, is always been for 20 years of put the client's best interest first and not just to be suitable. And so a lot of historically our industry has been about suitability. As long as it's not going to hurt them, it's okay. And that's kind of a very low bar to cross. We've always held ourselves to a higher standard of always do what's right in the best interest of the client, and we can all sleep at night. So that's our model.
So it's that concept that really brings your set of the things that tug at you into coincidence or into – what's the word I'm looking for? The same general area as Vern, that the things that tug at you. Mm-hmm. The idea that it's the client, or in your case, it's the member's best interests that mm-hmm. are put first.
Absolutely. And Mike had mentioned the regulatory environment. There's one thing I want to make sure I disclose is that we have to be very, very cautious that our advisors make it very open and clearly communicated to our members that what the money that our members put with the advisor is not federally insured. So we have to keep a separation. So when I mentioned about taking money out of their savings account and placing it with an advisor, it does remove it from that insurable
from the status. The credit union insurance piece of
yes, and there are securities and
securities insurance. Are federally insured.
Different.
But by a different regulator.
Yes.
And, you know, when we come back and after the second break, I think we'll talk about that insurance and those regulations a little bit more. But I'm really kind of interested, and full disclosure, I worked at a credit union for Mike, and so I kind of know some of the answers to these questions. But one of the things that attracted me when Mike found my name and came and recruited me to work in a credit union was that the measurements of success were going to be a little different from working for a company, and I worked for an insurance company at the time that also did investments, where I had a quota. Do your investment advisors have quotas?
Oh, great question. That is a differentiator in the industry is we don't. You know, we basically don't have quotas. We don't have any proprietary product that we sell. We basically can work with Vanguard, Fidelity, any brand out there. The advisor's job is to identify what the client needs and then go find it for them, help them get there. And that is different than a lot of the other firms out there.
That is a big difference, that you don't manufacture any products.
Right.
And so the financial advisor at a credit union is not obliged or, in fact, can't sell products that you manufacture because you don't manufacture any. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a view that starts off with what is the right thing for that member or for that client and go from there.
It's important, I'd just say, to add that not all credit unions operate that way. That's a, in Tucson, even, there are some credit unions that may have proprietary products. So it's
in the investor side.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't.
Yes.
I guess I either didn't know that or had forgotten.
Yep.
So, okay, yeah. So that's an important thing for a member or a potential client to ask about
right.
when interviewing that advisor.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, again, we do have to pay the bills, and we're going to take a break. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We will be back live after these recorded announcements.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
And we're back live. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. And we have in the studio with us today, Mike Pryor, the founder and CEO of Credit Union Financial Network, and Vern Babylon, the chief officer, chief executive at Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union. And we're talking about all things financial services in ways that you might not normally get to hear about because it's the way things are organized and things are regulated. Now, I was an advisor. I am an advisor. I just love regulations. I love regulators. I love getting that call like I got earlier today from our Office of Supervisory Jurisdiction saying, what did you do last week and why did you do that? Mike, what is an OSJ? How is the investment advisor regulated?
Sure. So not all advisors have an OSJ. Some of them rely on their broker-dealer to provide compliance supervision. And that's okay. And that's nice to have that backdrop. We bring kind of an extra layer of compliance, if you will, to that relationship. So instead of it being a broker-dealer and an 800 number, it's more local, usually more connected, less advisors per compliance officer. So in our model, for instance, we have like about 15 advisors per compliance officer. A home office supervision model might have 50 to 100 advisors to one compliance officer. So we're a little bit more focused. We know the advisors, more personally. So when they're selling products, we can kind of pay attention a little bit more as to, what they're selling and, provide a little bit more guidance where needed. So a little bit more support for the advisors. So an Office of Supervisory Jurisdiction just is something that makes sure that the advisors aren't selling products that they shouldn't, and to provide a level of resource and counseling to the advisors should they need help.
So does that extra level of supervision, does that add cost to the product? Does that add cost to the business that you do in a credit union?
Not to the client. So the people who pay for that cost are usually through the advisors or through the credit unions. They actually pay that cost, but the clients don't pay for that.
I got it. And Vern, I know that as a bank, as a credit union, you have several levels and layers of regulation that you have to deal with on a daily basis. Tell us a little bit about that, and maybe how it differs from a credit union that is regulated by the state or one that is regulated by the federal government.
Okay, we all the credit unions that are federally insured are regulated by the National Credit Union Administration, NCUA. We are state chartered as well, so we are regulated by two sets of credit union regulators, and that is the Arizona Department of Financial Institutions and the NCUA. Now, those are our immediate regulators that will come and visit. Ours are coming in July for about 2 weeks.
Well, that must be fun.
Oh, it is a blast. We just so look forward to it. But anyway, we also are regulated by the CFPB and FinCEN and the Treasury and all of the banking regulations, well over 3,000 regulations that we have to be cognizant of every day.
So your organization is subject to audit, external audit, on a regular basis from several organizations.
Absolutely, we are. And you mentioned the word audit because we have examinations from the regulatory bodies, and then we have audits. So we do have to do an annual audit from our CPA firm, and then we hire another CPA firm to do internal audits for us to help us to find what we're not seeing on a daily basis, correct it, so that when the examiners come in, and also to protect the depositors and the consumers, that we are not missing anything and it's not falling through the cracks.
So when you as an executive make the decision to invite an investment advisor onto staff and to be serving your members, do your regulators have something to say about that?
They do, absolutely, and they will look to make sure that we are abiding by all the regulations that would also be placed on our financial advisor.
Without getting into too much detail, are there things about the normal business a credit union does, deposits and loans and that kind of thing, that might either conflict with or be confusing to regulators when you take a look at that vis-a-vis the stuff that an investment advisor does?
Two major characteristics that we have to follow there. One is to make sure that there is a separation of recognition, that the advisor will have point blank disclosures that say you're not federally insured by the NCUA for money here. And then we also have to abide by a confidentiality. So we can't just directly share our members' information with a financial advisor. In that respect, there is a wall between us, two different entities. He really does need to find his own way to make contact with those members, but we cannot give him account information and contact information directly.
So when I walk into a credit union, I will not expect to see an investment advisor behind the counter working with the teller to identify suitable members for investment opportunities.
Most definitely you will not. They are in a side office, almost invisible, but not really. And it is a referral situation. So our employees of the credit union, when they recognize a situation where a member could benefit from an advisor, will mention to that member, oh, we have, in our case, Phil McNulty over here. Would you like to go talk to him? You might be able to get a better return on some of the extra dollars you have in your account.
So you do some training of your client-facing staff to recognize opportunities and to tell them an appropriate way to make those referrals.
Yes, and it is strictly a very basic and simple referral. They cannot give any kind of financial advice referring to securities. They can give financial advice on a checking account, a savings account, a money market account. But when it comes to the products that the advisor will provide, those employees are absolutely directed to not try to give any kind of financial advice because they're not licensed for it.
Mike, it feels to me, as somebody who worked in a credit union, but also somebody who worked outside of the credit union environment as a financial advisor, that might feel kind of restrictive. How do you deal with those kinds of situations or those restrictions when interviewing a financial advisor who says, well, you know, maybe I want to do a radio show and attract people from the radio show. Can they come into the credit union too?
Sure, right? it does sound kind of restriction, but really it's just all about transparency, right? You know, as long as the advisor knows, you know, here's how it works, you know, it's very clear to the client, the member, when they come in, this is how it works. You know, the advisor's maybe an employee of the credit union, but he's really an advisor of the broker dealer, right? And so keeping that wall up, you know, making sure that everyone understands what's insured, what's not insured, that's just transparent to the consumer, transparent. So if an advisor coming in, like I said, the seat's not for every advisor. Some advisors that wouldn't make a good fit, but those who get it, who are a very good character, good heart, you know, who want to do financial planning the right way, they like transparency too. So they don't see it as a restriction. They just see it as just that's how the process is.
And I'd like to talk a little bit more about financial planning maybe in the last segment. But in leading up to that, what I am interested in is how your advisors are able to kind of balance the needs of members who might not be the ideal client for an advisor versus the needs of the credit union, which is to take care of every single member who wants that advice.
So we make it really clear in the interview stage that we help all members. We don't have minimums. Like a lot of wirehouse firms and broker dealers have, like, you know, you have to have $250,000 before someone will actually talk to you, or they give you an 800 number if you're a small account. We've never operated that way in 20 years. We've always just, we help everybody who comes through the door, you know, get started. So obviously sometimes, you know, from advisors, that's maybe a lot of paperwork
help
somebody get started. But they still, there's a sense of like, I'm helping somebody, you know, and that's what it's all about, right? So if you get that sense of helping somebody, you know, we see enough members, we help enough people of high net worth, all the way up to the most complicated estate planning and businesses and helping them with business planning, that, you know, it all balances out.
I got it. In the financial services industry, one of the things that is, I find, very unique about what financial advisors are and who they are and how they work is that they're really entrepreneurs. They're independent contractors in many ways, rather than employees of. And as a result, they have an expense stream that they take care of on their own, whereas if you were to work for a corporation as, say, a marketing manager, all of that would be taken care of for you. So are some of those kinds of expenses taken care of because you're in a credit union, as opposed to, say, if you were working on your own just in the industry?
Absolutely. And Alex, I've been interviewing advisors for 20 years and hiring and training and advisors for 20 years. And what you get to find is that this is kind of like a best of both worlds model if you're an advisor, because you get to remain independent. You know, no one's giving you proprietary product pressure like it, you know, some of the bigger banks who might have those kind of proprietary products. So no proprietary. So you get to be an independent advisor without all the headache of a building, an assistant, you know, marketing, all that stuff that costs. And marketing is a big deal. For an advisor, one of the hardest things to do is to find that next new client. And so with a credit union, you know, you're getting, you know, connected with those members, and it makes you get to spend more time with clients doing financial planning than if you were out there by yourself just trying to run your own shop.
I got it. What I'd like to do is have you guys think a little bit about the word expertise and how expertise is accumulated in a person like a financial advisor, what resources those financial advisors might have to gain and retain and be up to date on everything. And when we come back, we'll discuss some of that. I'd like to just comment on our last break that some exciting news from Green Things and Socolo Fine Mexican Imports. Socolo at 2924 East Broadway is moving, and they're going to be at a new location in the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road just west of Brandy Fenton Park. And so a lot of their merchandise is on sale right now because that's a pre-moving sale. So take advantage of their sale items at Socolo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. There's a link to the Socolo website at buckmastershow.com. We'll listen to these recorded announcements and be back after this last break of the hour.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
And we're back live. Shelly Fishman filling in for Bill Buckmaster with Vern Babylon and Mike Pryor. In this last segment, we're going to talk about a couple of things that we kind of hit on a little bit earlier in the show. And the first thing I want to talk about is expertise in financial matters and how you assure that Vern, your employees are fully qualified to deal with the financial needs that your organization is set to meet, and Mike, how your financial advisors stay up with the latest and greatest of what's going on. I know at the big wirehouses, they have these morning calls, and you know, they're constantly deluged with information. How does that work in a bank or in a credit union? I apologize.
Every Monday we have special training that we have a portion of our staff that attends. And sometimes it's refresher type courses. And oftentimes it is what are the new regulations and the new regulatory changes so that we stay up on top of compliance. And that's really critical. WebExes and just a constant communication, lots of meetings. There are senior management meetings, all staff meetings. And it's a sharing of information. And that's really what it boils down to, is to just make sure information is shared out and everybody understands what's going on.
And at your typical branch, how many layers of management or layers of expertise would, if I'm at the first level of customer interface or client interface, what referral sources or what information sources could I rely upon right there at a branch?
Mm-hmm. Very fortunately, we're quite a flat organization. We have 52 employees. We do have myself as a CEO, and then there's a layer of right now two vice presidents. Then there's a mid-management level, and the bulk of the employees, about 80% of the employees, are actually people that are assisting with the members in some form or fashion. So with that in mind, we have to make sure that information is readily available. Mm-hmm. And in this day of technology, we have what we call wikis. There are training manuals online that information is easy to gather. You can type in a search word and get to exactly where you need to be without having to rifle through a lot of manuals.
Do you have some product specialists?
We do. We absolutely do. And different categories, there are lending product specialists. We actually have one thing that I want to mention is we are the only financial institution that's Tucson-based that has a unique solar power lending program. We're very proud of it. We built it ourselves, and we have a group of individuals in this case that are our solar loan specialists.
I see. Mike, you several times during the show you mentioned the term financial plan or financial planning. Mm-hmm. How is that different from financial advice?
Great point. So a lot of financial advisors out there, when they meet with somebody, they'll size them up kind of quickly and decide what to do with their money in a very short period of time. Where we prefer, and again, it kind of goes back to, you know, the quality of advisor, you know, here in Tucson, you know, at Tucson El Pueblo Credit Union, we have a certified financial planner, you know, and so and certified financial planners just put more time into learning more about different products and services, so they have a little bit more breadth of knowledge, right? So you'll find more certified financial planners doing more financial plans, and that basically helps the client, the consumer, have an actual visual of what things could look like in good times and in bad, called like a Monte Carlo analysis, you know, and it really kind of shows, you know, different scenarios of like what their portfolio might do over time. It also shows where there's gaps in maybe asset protection, you know, if they need, if they're thinking about trying to stay at home versus a nursing home, you know, figuring out long-term care solutions around that. Maybe they have a young family and need more life insurance. A financial plan is just more about an investment account.
So if I walk into, you know, one of the offices of a financial advisor who has CFP after their name, or somebody who just takes this as their modus operandi, mm-hmm. That person is likely to be interested in more than just the amount of money I want to invest in stocks today. They're going to ask me questions about what kind of things.
Sure, like their family. You know, tell me a little bit about your children. Tell me a little bit about your parents. You know, tell me about your charitable interests. You know, what do you want to do? You know, from an estate planning perspective. And so really kind of looking more big picture about everything rather than just focusing in on one account.
So one of the things that might get integrated into a financial plan would be the relationship that client has at the credit union and Absolutely. The kinds of funds and products or services that they rely on the credit union mm-hmm. for.
Right.
But they also might look for other things. So I mean, there's a lot of product out there. I know that when I was at the credit union, one of the ways I was relying upon people giving me their expertise was there's a whole group at almost every manufacturer of products, insurance, annuities, and other kinds of financial products, mutual funds, etc., where they have groups of people who do nothing but service financial advisors who work in financial institutions like banks and credit unions.
Right. And so a lot of the big banks, you know, especially the big banks, have proprietary product, right? And they have financial advisors who have goals and quotas and things like that that, you know, maybe sometimes may feel conflicted. You know, we hear that as we're interviewing them and they're wanting to leave those big banks. So being with an independent advisor, you know, as a consumer, you really want to test that independence, ask the right questions to make sure they're on your side and not on the bank side, you know, from that perspective. And then just that they really do care about you. You know, so really the consumer sometimes is intimidated by an advisor. They really need to not be. You know, a good advisor won't make you feel that way. And you just ask enough questions to feel comfortable with them that they're on your side and they're not conflicted with proprietary product.
Right. So often the relationship between a financial advisor and a client is similar to the relationship between a patient and a doctor.
Yes.
or a patient and a psychologist.
Right.
There's an inequality that's assumed, inequality of knowledge, inequality of experience, and it's intimidating for a client to ask hard questions, like what do you charge?
Right.
Or what should, so, you know, when I was in the corporate world, one of the things when I was interviewing potential clients or executives, I would always ask, and I'd ask you to keep these answers pretty brief, and you probably want to anyway, what keeps you awake at night? What is it about your business that troubles you or that you always have to keep an eye on? Vern, I'll start with you.
All righty. It's a lot of it has to do with balance. We have to balance out economic changes, which seem to be happening almost as fast as the cyber world is changing. And cybersecurity is huge for us. It's huge in the industry all around. As quickly as we can control the data and keep it out of the hands of the bad guys come up with a new way. And we invest heavily in that cybersecurity. And in balancing out the member relationships and the staffing relationships, we want to make sure that our employees are coming to work with a smile on their face, and our members leave with a smile on their face. So it's primarily cybersecurity and regulations and economic.
And Mike, in your world?
You know, sometimes it is interesting that a lot of consumers, because they don't know, they don't ask enough questions, and so they don't see the value of a financial plan. And we really do think that would be in their best interest if they do that more. So I wish, what keeps me up at night is we don't have enough consumer interest in planning. I think the consumers would be better off if they did.
So that the consumer isn't bringing necessarily the right set of concerns into every meeting. They're making assumptions about the fact they're sitting there with a stockbroker and they're going to buy stocks rather than take a look at their entire financial life. Guys, this has been, as always, too short. We're reaching the end of the hour. I've got to cut things off. I've got a gazillion more questions. However, I would like to thank Ray Allen, our super engineer, and my guests today, Vern Babylon, the Tucson Old Pueblo Credit Union, and Mike Pryor, my boss at CUFN. Thanks again for being here and for doing this.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.